All right, the book of Ephesians. It's in your New Testament. If you're having a little trouble finding, your leader next to you can help you, or somebody next to you who knows where it is. Well, since you're there now, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us tonight.
All right.
Lord, thank you for this great evening that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and to sing together. Thank you for each one of these students that you've brought here tonight. And I pray that you would give them each attentive ears, give them hearts that are ready to hear your word, that are ready to change. And I pray that your spirit tonight would give me strength and the words to say, and give them attentive listening ears. And I pray that this evening would be pleasing and honoring to you, and also that we would have a lot of fun together tonight. Amen. All right. Well, if you're there in Ephesians, we're in Ephesians chapter 1, so the very beginning. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me explain where we are right now. So this is a letter, right? This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing it to the Christians who are in the city of Ephesus. If you remember from last time, we learned about how the Ephesian church came to believe in the Lord Jesus. Many of you enjoyed how they burned their books together and all their old magic books, and they got rid of it. They burned it. Why? Because they believed the Bible instead, and they didn't need those old books now that they had the Bible. And we learned about how they had like their own seminary in the Hall of Tyrannus, where they learned every day. They learned the Word of God. But then all of a sudden, and we didn't have time to look at this, but Paul had to leave. There was a little later on, he was forced to leave Ephesus very suddenly. And now that all of a sudden they're without Paul. And so this is a few years later, he's like, you know, I need to check in on these people. I need to see if they're doing okay. So he hears back from somebody. It's like, yeah, they're doing okay. And they tell him, yeah, the Ephesian church, they're doing great ever since you left. He's like, oh, good. So then he writes this letter, the book of Ephesians. He's telling them, hey, I'm really glad to hear that you've been doing well since I've left. Here's some things you need to remember. And he gives them new things that they need to learn about the church and about how to live their lives. But you remember what happened in the end. So at first they did a great job. They listened, they got his letter, they read it carefully, they obeyed everything that was in it, and they were really faithful. But years and years later, 40 years later actually, you see in the book of Revelation that Jesus writes a letter to the church. And in his letter he says, hey, you did a good job. You remembered the doctrines. You remember the teaching. You remember the things that we taught you, that Paul taught you, but you've forgotten your love. And he told those Ephesians, the kids, really, the kids of that original church, he told them, hey, you've lost your first love, and the love that they had for Christ and the love that they had for one another. But we're going to rewind a little bit. We're not in the future yet. We're not in Revelation yet. You haven't lost it yet. You still have the chance to learn what Paul has to say to you in the book of Ephesians. And really, what this book teaches, if I could sum it up in one word, is the church. Ephesians teaches you what the church is and how the church is to live. In fact, there are 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. The first 3 chapters explain what the church is, and the last 3 chapters explain how the church should live, what you should do now that you know who you are. I don't know about you, but when I was your age, I wasn't really sure what the church was. It's like, I mean, I know it's a place we go to on Sundays. You hear preaching there. We sing together. But what makes the church a church? I mean, if you could come over to my house and we could sing together, and I could preach, maybe would that be the church? I don't know. What do you think? I think maybe. Okay. What about, you've probably heard this before. The church isn't the building. Has anyone heard that before?
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. So, and that's true. The church is not the building. If you don't believe me, well, I mean, is your house a church? No. It's if we all came to your house and met there, would it be a church? We're in the building now. It's like, no. So it's definitely not the building, okay? But what about, is the church the people in the building? Now be careful before you answer this. Is it the people in the building? And we say, no. The church is not the people in the building. Not always. Because imagine this. You have a sign. It says, church. And you take the sign. And then you go stick it on the front door of Walmart. Are all the people in Walmart the church now?
No.
Well, then how do you know this building says it's a church? How do you know this one's a church? How do you know the people in here are a church? That's okay. You don't have to answer, because I'm going to answer for you tonight. In fact, the book of Ephesians is going to answer for you. And what we're going to learn for the next 3 weeks is that the church is the people who have received God's spiritual blessings. Now, that's not going to make sense at first, but let me read the passage to you. I'm going to explain it, and then I think you'll see what I mean. So, look down at verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, blessing is one of those words that you may hear people say a lot, but you're not really sure what it means. Like, you know, please bless this food to our bodies. Please turn this carrot into a Cheeto. I mean, this Cheeto into a carrot. I don't know. I don't even know what it means. What does it mean? Bless this food. Bless. What does bless mean? Basically, a blessing is something good. Food could be a blessing. Cheetos are definitely a blessing. A family is a blessing. A cool summer day, well, that's a blessing. A Christmas gift, friends, those are all blessings, right? But we're not talking about just any kind of blessing. Are you guys still with me? You good? Okay. We're talking about spiritual blessings. Now, a spiritual blessing is a little bit different, okay? A spiritual blessing is a blessing that comes from heaven, okay? Those other things like family, good food, friends, those are earthly blessings because they're things that are here on earth. So anything that you see around here is an earthly blessing. But we're going to talk about spiritual blessings. And in fact, there are three spiritual blessings. One of the blessings comes from the Father, one comes from the Son, and one comes from the Holy Spirit. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to learn about the blessing that comes from the Son and the blessing that comes from the Spirit. But this week, we're learning about the blessing that comes from the Father. And that blessing is to be chosen by the Father. So that is the title of tonight's message, is the first spiritual blessing, chosen by the Father. Chosen by the Father. So, back to our question. What is the church? Well, part one of that answer is the church is the people who are chosen by the Father. That is our first spiritual blessing. That is the first thing you need to know about the church. So let's continue reading. Look back at verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as, it means for example, it means, you know, sort of like this, one of these spiritual blessings. For example, he chose you. And tonight, what we're going to do is I'm going to explain 5 ways that the Father chooses the church. 5 kind of kind of ways to look at it, okay? So, and I'm going to give them all to you up front, but don't worry, I'm going to repeat them again and say them as we're going. I'm glad to see lots of you are taking notes, so I will tell you again so that you can take notes. But we're going to see that the Father chose the church long ago. The Father chose the church to be spotless. He chose the church in love. He chose the church for adoption. And He chose the church because He wanted to. Five reasons He chose the church. So first reason, the first way that God chose, the Father chose the church long ago. The Father chose the church long ago. Have any of you ever been to a construction site, like a house that's being built, anything? Yeah. Yeah? Okay, well, the first thing that they do at a construction site, they get the dirt already, they dig it up, right? But then they pour the concrete on. And when that concrete hardens, it becomes a foundation. The foundation is the very base of the building. It's the very first thing that you put together, right? And if you don't have a foundation, your house is just going to fall apart. It's no good. And if you remember from verse 4, he said, "The Father chose us before the foundation of the world." This means that before God had even started creating the world, before He had even poured the concrete of the world, He had already chosen who was going to be in His church. Think about it this way. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, imagine there's a Genesis 0:0. It's like the verse before Genesis 1:1. If there was, it would say, "Before the beginning, the Father chose the church." And then Genesis 1:1 happens and He creates the world. That's how long ago it happened. So first, the Father chose the church before the foundation of the world. But second, the Father chose the church to be spotless. The Father chose the church to be spotless. Look at verse 4 again. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him." Holy and blameless. It means to be completely clean, to be spotless. In the Old Testament, when people came to offer an animal for sacrifice, the animal needed to be spotless. It couldn't have scabs or sores or weird spots of any kind. It had to be perfect. In the same way, sin is like spots. It makes us dirty. It makes us like freckled and in a bad way. And it keeps us from God. We're unacceptable to God as long as we have our sin. But Ephesians 5:25 says that God made a way to make the church, to make people spotless. It says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." The picture here is of a wedding. Have any of you ever been to a wedding? Okay, good enough for you. But you can imagine it. When you come to a wedding, the bride, she wants to be spotless. It's like before she gets married, it's like she's going to do her hair. She's going to dress up really nice. You know, the dress has to be perfect. She's going to do her makeup, make sure she gets rid of every little wrinkle, anything that could look bad. And why does she do that? It's because she wants her groom, she wants her husband to be excited, to be like, "Whoa, you're going to be my wife," right? She wants to make a really good first impression. And that's the idea, is that God wants the church to be spotless for His Son. He wants His people to be completely clean, completely free from sin, completely free from anything that makes them ugly before they can be married to His Son, be given to Christ. But the way He had to do that was by giving Christ to die. So before any church could exist, before anybody could be washed from their sins, Christ had to die for them first. So first, the Father chose the church before the foundation of the world. Second, the Father chose the church to be spotless. And third, the Father chose the church in love. And that's our third point tonight. The Father chose the church in love. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 4 again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and blameless before him in love. Did God choose people to be part of his church because they were really smart? Or like they were really good looking? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, you're right. Because 1 Corinthians 1:26 says this, "For consider your calling, brothers, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." God didn't choose the good people. He chose the bad people. He didn't choose the handsome people. He chose the ugly people. Sorry. He didn't choose the smart people. He chose the foolish people. He chose the people who are least. He chose the people that the world looks down on and says you're nothing. You're worthless. But God chooses them and says, you are valuable to me. But why does he do that? Well, it's the same reason, actually, that he chose Israel. Way back in the Old Testament, God chose Israel. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He said, you are going to be my people. And what was the reason? Deuteronomy 7:7 says, Yahweh, so God, did not set his affection on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Yahweh, because God loved you. That's why God chose Israel, and that's why God chose each of the people in the church, out of love for them. Before the foundation of the world, God loved people by choosing them to be part of his church. And how much did he love them? Again, he loved them enough to send a son to die for them. And you remember what we said? Genesis 0:0. Before the beginning, God chose his church. Well, 1 Peter 1:20 says this, before the foundation of the world, God chose to send his son. So when he chose his church, he also decided, I'm going to send my son to die for those people so that they can be spotless, so that they can be clean. So first, the Father chose the church long ago. Second, the Father chose the church to be spotless. Third, the Father chose the church in love. And fourth, the Father chose the church for adoption. The Father chose the church for adoption. And that's our fourth point tonight. Look with me at verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Predestining, that's a big word, but I think you can figure out what it means. You guys watch movies, it's your destiny. It's going to happen. It must happen. And what this is saying is that God destined people for adoption. When he chose them, it's not like, oh, maybe it will happen. It's like, no, it will happen. It's definite. They will be adopted. But what are you being adopted from? I mean, most of you are probably like, I mean, I have a family. It's like, right? Why would I need to be adopted, right? Well, we're being adopted, actually, from our old way of life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You hear that? Sons of disobedience. Like, what a name. You're sons of disobedience. But then it goes on. among whom we also formerly conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So sons of disobedience, children of wrath, daughters of disobedience, if you feel like I missed you. And the point is, disobedience comes naturally to us. It runs in the family. And that makes us children of wrath. It means we deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. We deserve to pay the price for all of our sins. But when God adopts a person, that person no longer is a child of wrath, but a child of God. So first, the Father chose the church long ago. Second, the Father chose the church to be spotless. Third, the Father chose the church in love. The Father chose the church for adoption. And finally, the Father chose the church because he wanted to. The Father chose the church because he wanted to. Now look back again at verse 5, Ephesians 1, verse 5. By predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Have you ever been in a situation where you know what the right thing to do is, but you just really don't want to do it? You don't even have to raise your hand. I know you've all been in that situation. Okay, maybe some of you just don't even want to do the right thing, but that's besides the point. Well, I know you've been in this situation before. It's dinner time. Your mom has just spent 2 hours cooking dinner for you. And you sit down, you look at your plate, and you realize, uh-oh, I've never seen this before. This is new food. I don't like new food. Right? So You kind of like pretend, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna poke it a little bit. It's like maybe you would kind of move it around, cut it into a few pieces. And but mom is looking at you and she's getting suspicious. It's like she knows you're not eating your food. So you're like, all right, let's go for it. I'm taking a bite. So you close your eyes, you stick it in your mouth. It's worse than you ever expected. But you do it anyway. It's for mom, right? So you do it one bite at a time. You eat that whole meal. Oh, good. You got through the whole thing. And then your mom looks at your plate. Oh, good. You loved it. We'll have it again next week. Well, sometimes that's how we imagine the Father thinks about the church. He's like, well, I mean, I guess I could choose you. I don't really like you. It's like, you're kind of gross. And he would be right. He would be right to say that. Because we, honestly, we are gross. Psalm 14 says this. Yahweh looks down from heaven upon the sons of man to see if there is anyone who has insight, anyone who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. Altogether, they have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And if that's the case, I mean, we could kind of expect God to keep a little distance from us. He's like, all right, fine. I'll save you, but I don't have to like you. But that's not the case. It says he predestined us according to the good pleasure of his will. Good pleasure. It means it's what he wants. He wants people to be part of his family. It gives him pleasure to choose them. He doesn't look at people like they're gross. He's delighted to save them and to make them part of his family. So those are the five things. Those are the five ways that God chose his church, chose his people. But how are you supposed to respond to this? You guys are young right now. And you honestly don't get to make a lot of choices. I mean, you can't even choose what you're going to eat for dinner. Right? Every once in a while, yeah. It's pretty cool if you get to choose that. But the older you get, the more and more choices you're going to be making. And some of you may even start to think, hey, maybe I could choose myself to be part of the church. Maybe I could choose to be saved. But that's not the case. It says here that God chooses. Now, some of you might be worried, especially like adults will be worried. It's like, well, what if I'm not chosen? What if I'm not part of the church? Well, first of all, I'll tell you this. It's a good thing it's not up to you, because if you could choose to get rid of your sin, every one of you would choose no. Every one of you would keep your sin because you like it too much. You're too used to it. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to do what God wants you to do. But there's another reason why it's very good that God chooses people to be saved. John 6:37, Jesus promises two things. First promise, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And then he says, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. That first promise, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, means that every person God chooses will be saved. Every person God chooses will become part of the church. But that second promise, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out, that means that every person who comes to Jesus will be saved. And how do you come to Jesus? A few verses later, he says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Think about it this way. Anyone is welcome to come to Jesus by believing in him. There is no one who will say, I wanted to be saved, but I couldn't. Jesus will save every person who believes in him. But if you do believe in him, it's because the Father already chose you before the foundation of the world. Let me put it to you this way. God's job is to choose. Your job is to believe. And that is how God saves people and makes them part of his church. All right, we're going to pray together. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. I pray that this has hit their hearts where it needs to be, that those of us who do know you, that we would be thankful again and again for our salvation, that you chose us and you cleansed us, you made us spotless from every sin. And I pray for those who do not know you, that you would continue to work in them, that you would show them their sin, show them how they have been disobedient towards you, disobedient toward their parents, and disobedient in so many areas of life, and that they would believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And pray for the rest of this evening that our discussion and all our time together would be pleasing to you. Amen.